The 0-1 pitch. Breaking ball right back at him, and fittingly, Rangers got it. Turns, fires, and it's a shutout for Suarez. 5-0. Phillies win it as Rangers Suarez throws the first complete game shutout of the season by a Phillies pitcher, and just the second of his major league career.
WIP Afternoon Show. I'm Spike Eskin, along with Ike Reese and Jack Fritz, and joining us every, what's today, Wednesday?
Yes.
Wednesday at 3 o'clock, the great, great, great Larry Anderson. What's up, man?
How's everybody?
Oh, we're great. How are you?
Doing great, L.A.
We're on a roll.
I was just getting ready to say, L.A., 2-0, man. We're 2-0.
Yeah, we are really taking it to the Rockies.
Let me ask you this, L.A. Yeah. Ranger Suarez, I always perceived as being a good pitcher. But sometime last year, and then, of course, this season so far, and then with for a real baseball guy like you and me, seeing a 9-inning complete game shutout is awesome. What has he done? What has changed to go from him from being just dependable, you know, fourth starter to legitimate top three starter type material?
I think just success, and with that comes confidence. I think he's always believed in himself that he could do things. But he's gotten off to slow starts in the past. He's had issues with visa, some minor injuries that hold him back. And this, he comes in this year. He gets to spring training early. He's doing everything he needs to do on time. And I think, just settling in and really comfortable where he's at. And obviously, with the way he's pitching, he's very confident. And I said earlier to a number of people that I really feel like Sanchez and Suarez are two keys that I think are going to have great years. Now, Sanchez is 0-2, I think he's 0-2, but he's pitched okay, and I think he's just going to get better. The conditions have been terrible, but I mean, with Ranger, you get Ranger and Sanchez, you're fourth and fifth, or third and fourth. I'll take that, and what Turnbull's done in the fifth spot, I'll take that any day of the week. They're not facing the 27 Yankees, too.
Sure.
It's a little different, but just what he's done, just watching him just carve up hitters with his stuff, like, everything was working, and he usually has most stuff working, and he knows how to pitch. That's what's... And he doesn't get rattled. He doesn't panic. He's just Ranger. Just cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah, I think it's so impressive, L.A., and you have been one of the ones that have talked about Ranger, not just this past year, but, in some of his earlier starts where you saw something that you liked about his demeanor out there on the mound, even whenever he would, walk a batter or give up a hit and he has runners on base. He doesn't seem to just fall apart, and now you have a blow-up inning. When you look at Ranger ultimately, all right, what do you think he can ultimately be? Do you think he really is, like, he has the stuff of a top-of-the-rotation type of pitcher?
I said last night in the post game, I think I said it to Murph in the post game, that for me, watching him last night and watching what he's done this year, I mean, I don't know how he cannot be in the talks going forward in the Cy Young talk. I'm serious. People probably laugh at that, but I understand it's also the Rockies, who are not a great offensive team, but they're better than we are. I mean, put it that way, as far as average goes, and they've scored more runs. But Ranger just goes out and does his thing, and that's what I just love it. Nothing rattles him. You never know if he's mad or happy or content or stressing. You don't see any of that from him, and I think that's huge. And the fact that he just believes so much in himself that what he can do, it's amazing. And people might laugh at it, and then at the end of the year, he could have a 5 ERA and not have any more wins than 5 wins. And here I am saying, calling him a Cy Young contender. But that's what I see from him. He's that good. He changes speeds. He doesn't throw 95 to 100 like a lot of guys. He's at 93, 94, which is, it's very hittable in today's game, very pedestrian. Mm-hmm. But he knows how to use it. He can move the ball. He can sink it. He can, you know, throw the cutter. He can his curveball, change everything. He's got the mix of everything he needs. And when he has command of it, like he did last night, it's tough. I don't care if it's Atlanta or if it's Colorado. He's going to have success.
We're talking to Larry Anderson. You mentioned him sort of being, you know, calm or straightforward in terms of mood. You never know if he's rattled. It right. reminds me actually of another guy in the rotation in that Zach Wheeler sort of operates in the same way. It's interesting to have two guys in the top of the rotation that have that sort of temperament. It reminds me a little bit of Cliff Lee, I guess. Cliff Lee was sort of the same way. You know, Holiday always looked like he wanted to murder somebody, but those guys, it just seems rare to have two guys that are that good with that temperament in the same rotation.
Yeah, they don't. It's like some guys, Scherzer will have that just, you know, that mean fight, that dog, like, you know, intensity. You don't see that. You just see a cool, calm, and collected Ranger. And you know, sometimes it works for some guys that way. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes, you know, some guys need the Scherzer type of stuff. It just, he just doesn't, nothing seems to faze him, which is just remarkable. I don't know. And Wheels is that way too. Wheels just, you know, whatever happens, happens. I think I can see frustration every now and then from Wheels, but rare. And that's, I think when you get that at the top, I think it's easier for the guys below him to just follow suit and go, hey, this guy's not getting rattled. Why should I? But Ranger's always been kind of a cool customer as he goes with his pitching and just watching him field balls, get a ball back at him. He's a great fielder. I mean, that's what we were talking about last night, was that he'll be in the discussion at the end of the year if he stays healthy, of being in the Golden Glove talks. And so, he could be fighting Zach Wheeler for the Gold Glove if he stays healthy, and that's a big if. But if he stays healthy throughout the year, gets his 30, 32 starts, whatever it is, that's where I mentioned that I see him not just in the talk of the Gold Glove, but in the talk of the Cy Young. Just after watching that performance last night, he's that good.
Okay, LA, this is where I'm at now with the squad. All right, we know that there's an offense. This is a quote-unquote slugging team, even though they aren't slugging right now. We know that's what they are. But could this be – all right, tell me as a Phillies fan, if I'm looking at it this way, could this be that I just need to look at this team right now as a pitching-led team versus an offensive lineup-led team until the offense gets going? Like, can we just rely on the starting pitching? And if this offense gives us, let's say, four to five runs, would that be enough? Do you believe that would be enough to get us through most series until the offense gets going?
Yes, absolutely. Four or five runs, I think, is definitely – it's more than they're getting. Now, for the most part, I mean, half the games we haven't scored four runs.
Right.
I don't think we've scored over five yet.
Nope.
Well, the Harper three home run game is
gone. I think one game we've had over five runs. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But look at it this way. I like, if you take the track record the last 2 years, the pitching's going to have to carry him for 2 months.
Yep.
The offense isn't going to be here till June. I mean,
yep.
That's just the way it is. But if this pitching continues like it's pitching and we can get a little bit of offense until June and then the pitching holds up, man, there's no telling what can happen with this team. And you just – the offense is going to be here. I mean, it's you have too many guys with too much of a track record for it not to be here.
To be clear, by the way, you expect, as, at least in terms of personnel, that the lineup is good enough and will produce – at a level to where they can be a top contending team.
Yeah, but not till June.
Okay.
Well, I mean that's what the track record says. Not till June.
Exactly. That's it. I'm just going from our history, and that's what I expect. So, and if you get more than that before June, it's a bonus. But the pitching, I mean, if it holds up at all, like this is being. We could be looking at some great numbers at the end of the year.
So we're talking to Larry Anderson. Larry, I have one more very important question for you. This is the second day of the new show. Of course, you were down there when I was down at spring training, but I didn't really officially get up there until yesterday. We don't have a name for the show. So we don't know whether to use our last names in the show, and we also don't know whether to put Jack's name in the show. And I need your input, whether it should be Ike Reese or just Ike, and then whether Jack his name is in the show or his name is not in the show?
Spike and Ike with Jack.
Yeah. It's, I mean,
also, you're going. He's included you, Jack. There you go.
Well, if he didn't, he's going to get a long text message. and Wednesday spots might be on delay for a little bit. So, yeah, Jack's in the mail.
Had Jack Fritz not had my number, I probably wouldn't have said that.
Exactly right.
We've all experienced Sad Jack. You don't want Sad Jack.
Yeah, nobody wants Sad Jack.
Nobody wants Sad Jack.
Well,
man, we had big expectations for this year. I think we all hoped that the Phillies would come out like a ball of fire. They have not, but they've kept their heads above water. And if I understand what you're saying, as long as they can keep their heads above water for another 6 weeks, they're going to be just fine.
Yes. That's exactly right. And I, you know what? And I mean, you got one more game here with the Rockies. Then you got, and the Rockies are twice as good as the White Sox.
Right.
So, that, okay. So if you look at it in that perspective, if we win the next four, what's that make us? 14 and 8?
Yeah. Yep.
And then we only have to win 10 more in a row to get to my prediction of 24 and 8 by the end of April.
Just a casual 10 in a row. Yeah. No biggie.
That might be a little tougher than I thought when I said it, but. 24-8 would be great, but so would 22-10.
Yeah, I
right.
Any winning record in April would be good compared to what it's been.
Well, I appreciate you, LA. We're going to keep you to that. If on June 15th, we don't have two weeks of 7 runs a game, we're going to blame you for it.
And I'm going to play that old, I don't remember that.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, LA. The great Larry Anderson. Now, I have a big, we're talking, of course, the big Sixers game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Sixers Heat playing game. We are confident as a group. I am confident that Joel Embiid, you know, takes the step, leads them. You are confident in Maxey being the number two. That Jack wants to end the Jimmy Butler story completely. But I do have one big question that we'll get to right after we talk to Chris in Washington Township. What's up, Chris?
Bye, guys. Dropmaster J, what's up?
Dropmaster J.
I like it.
I like Dropmaster J.
Ike Spike and Dropmaster J.
I like that.
Oh, he's the best, man. He's cracking me up over here. I love it. Listen, man, we gotta exude a little more confidence, fellas. Come on, it's the playoffs, man. We gotta get where's the hype callers at? I mean, we gotta get some guys. Come on, man.
We do need Rios. I think Rios today would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I was just gonna say that. Somebody, we gotta get some hype. We feel like we're doom and gloom here.
Well, you know what I almost think, Chris, and I'll let you finish your point. Are we overlooking the Miami Heat? It almost seems like we're not worried about the Miami Heat.
Yeah, they're only in the finals every single year.
I know. I'm just saying, but everybody's, Jim Butler, you know, he waits all year for this.
Sure,
Philly. I mean, yeah. What about Joel? Come on, man. Guy Smiley going to light it up tonight. Man, no problem. Man, not worried about nothing, man. We ain't worried about nothing tonight. I'm telling you right now, this number three, he finally has a number two where he doesn't have to worry. He feels like he's going to get stabbed in the back. I don't know. It's just like this kid is unreal, man.
Yep.
We have great, great, great Robin, man. I'm telling you.
But, you know, you're wondering why everybody's not excited. You said you're going down to the game, right?
Yeah, I'm heading down. Yep.
Awesome. Yep.
Here's what I can tell you, though. The game starts out 8-2 Miami. Timeout Sixers.
Yeah.
A turnover from Joel where he pouts on one side of the court. They get a layup on the other side. And Toby misses a three that goes out of bounds. You're going to hear groans, man. Like,
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody's just waiting. So it's up to the team to erase that. So what's your favorite 90s scandal?
Oh, man. Well, my favorite drop is Ike's. So speaking of that, but the old 10-incher, Tommy and Pamela Lee.
Oh, that is a good one, Chris. Thank you for the call.
Hold on, when I was telling
the sex tape, man.
Yeah, were they the first? I think they were.
I think they were. Do you ever see it?
Well, Kim Kardashian copied off them.
Well, yeah. Well, there was a Brett Michaels and Pamela Anderson. Brett Michaels, the lead singer from Poison, also a sex tape with them.
I did not know about that one.
Yeah.
I know the Tommy Lee and Pam Anderson. I mean, they were like one of the couples of the 90s.
They were, and it leaked out, and then they got the rights to it, obviously, and then they released it on their own
so they
could make the money
off of it, yeah.
Did you ever see it?
I have.
Yeah, me too. Jack?
Nah.
Play the cut, though.
Ooh, that boy almost got a 10-incher.
Play it twice for Tommy Lee.
Well, slow down over there, Spike.
I'm just saying. Guys, doing well.
I wasn't looking at Tommy, man.
Well,
you couldn't miss him, don't you?
Yeah, dude. You could look at any part of the screen.
He was whacking that thing.
Come on, man.
Yeah. That was the sex tape era.
So,
well, I don't know. Was Ray J and Kim's in the 90s?
No, that was 2000.
That was the 2000s. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Saw that one too.
Yeah, Ray J was still a damn kid in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would not have been legal.
That's not a sex tape you'd want on your hard drive. So here's my question for tonight. We haven't discussed.
It's like one other sex tape. Never mind.
Yeah.
Just move on.
Which one?
Nothing. It's the R. Kelly's.
Oh, God. Yes. Nope.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, get rid of that guy.
Now I got to stop laughing.
Yes, exactly. Okay. That's why I didn't want to say it.
Damn you, man. Okay. Here's my question to both of you. IQ first, Jack, you said.
I get a lot of sex tape calls back here, by the way.
Yeah, apparently, I'm sure you are. The 90s was the era of the sex tape.
Keep Yoshi off the line.
Yeah. Yoshi's going to give me his top five.
Yeah, top five sex tapes of Yoshi. So here's the scenario I'm going to paint to you.
All right.
We are tonight. The Heat are up 104-102.
Oh, God.
There's 8 seconds left. You can put the ball in the hands of Tyrese Maxey or Joel Embiid to begin this possession, you know, to be the primary playmaker in the possession. Who do you give it to?
And Toby's not an option.
Oh, brother.
What about Oubre?
Get rid of this guy.
No, I just had to. Okay. I'm stalling for an answer.
Okay. It's tough.
Yeah, because part of me wants to give Joel the ball because he's a star. But then I think back to all the times when Joel has the ball in those moments late in games. Stuff doesn't normally happen well.
Right.
I think I go with Maxey. I want to see Maxey, man. I want to see Maxey deliver as that guy. I keep bringing up Kobe for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But there was something to Shaq fouling out of game 4 in the finals and then Kobe rising having his
up.
Moment
right.
to ascend. So I'm not saying I want that for Maxey, but part of me says I think he can handle it. So I wouldn't be as in fear of him having that moment, especially like I would have Ben Simmons.
Right. Well, yeah. Can't do it with Ben Simmons.
And I got to tell you, as great of an offensive player as Harden is or was, I didn't trust Harden in those type of moments.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I didn't trust Harden.
You would
Harden
get
in those
a step
moments.
Back every single time.
Yeah.
Or try to draw a foul. One of the two. Those are the only two things you would get. Yeah. Jack, who are you giving the ball to? 8 seconds left.
I'm giving the ball to Maxey.
Yeah.
I'm giving the ball to Maxey. I've seen like the Embiid thing where he gets double teamed and then
throws it away.
It turns into an awful possession. Like that's a shot Maxey has to hit. And it could be meaningful.
Or set up somebody else's shot.
Sure. But it could mean something going forward too. So where maybe teams don't double Embiid and like they are more worried about Maxey. And maybe that opens up more for him. But like Maxey, I think, should be taking that shot. That's what we've been looking for from Joel Embiid's Robin for a while here.
And I think we're 3-for-3 on this. I would also give it to Maxey. As a Embiid devotee, here's the way I think about it. I've seen Joel Embiid hit those shots. Saw him hit a shot against Toronto 2 years ago, hit a game-winning, you know, three-pointer. It was sick. It was great. Mm-hmm. Didn't change anything. I know what Joel is. I think if you give the ball, first of all, I trust him. Whether he makes or misses the shot, I trust Maxey on this. But you give the ball to Maxey in that final possession, and he wins, he hits a three or he ties the game, that could change the trajectory of the entire playoffs. Him becoming that guy and hitting that shot at that time changes everything.
Yeah.
And because I think if Embiid hits that shot in a playing game, it doesn't change anything.
Doesn't do anything. Yep. You're right.
But if Maxey changes it, I think it changes everything. Wendy in Philly, you're on WIP. Oh, no, you're accusing me of stealing something. What did I steal? Oh, good.
Wendy?
Me? Oh, yeah. Hi, Wendy.
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm here.
Okay.
Well, first of all, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whoever's hot gets the ball.
Oh.
Okay? He makes it. Look, Oubre is definitely clutch.
Yeah.
A couple games ago. So, Maxey's clutch. They will win. The Sixers will win tonight if, A, Joel Embiid does not bring up the ball. Okay. Two, if Joel Embiid goes straight to the net, straight to the basket, and doesn't make those little jumper shots that are halfway between the 3-point line and the basket.
Oh, the mid range game.
And yes. Wendy,
get his ass in the post.
Yeah, get his ass. Get your ass in the post. Wendy, are they going to win or not? Sixers.
Like I said, they will. But one more thing.
Yes.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Those guys on MB must get the rebounds. They must stay under that basket. Okay? Hmm. Half the time when I watch that game, those guys are not there yet, you know, the rebounds that the other team is shooting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, what the hell, man? What are you doing? So
get in there, Toby.
Those are my three comments. If and if.
No ifs. Wendy, I'm not letting you go until you tell me whether the Sixers are going to win or not tonight. No ifs.
They're going to win.
Okay. All right. That's what I want to
win.
That's what I want to hear, Wendy.
Okay.
You know, I appreciate all the deep analysis from Wendy.
Yeah.
That was excellent.
Well, listen, qualifiers are there for a lot of people.
No. Have a take. Tell me if they're going to win or not. Ifs.
No ifs.
No ifs.
Qualifiers are there.
We don't deal with ifs here. There's no ifs here. Yeah. Do you trust Joel? Do you trust Maxi to not just win tonight, because tonight is big, but go on a real run this postseason? 215-592-9494. But next.
Not only do I trust them.
Yes.
I got a feeling.
Oh, no.
Now, I'm not saying they're going to win the title.
Right.
I'm not saying that.
Okay.
But I think we can come out of this playoffs.
Yep.
Entirely. With the Sixers being the team everybody's talking about moving forward.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to have to.
Because they haven't seen this version of Joel.
But they're going to have to get to the finals, I think, to be that team. I don't think they lose to Boston and they're that team.
You don't think they can push Boston to 7? And people are like,
maybe.
They're next.
As long as they don't, if they lose and don't choke.
Right.
Like, you know, they pushed Boston to 7 last year.
Sure, but we know how that.
Right.
Yeah, that game 7 was terrible.
I think there's different ways you can lose the series.
Okay.
For sure.
I can go with that.
Coming up next, the biggest name, probably the biggest coach, the best coach in NFL history, Bill Belichick, to the Eagles. It still could happen.
Who cares?
Hey. Next on the new afternoon show. It's a new WIP afternoon show. Ike Reese, Spike Eskin, Jack Fritz over there, gaining listeners all over the place from all walks of life. In media and outside of media. We are talking about the big Sixers game tonight. The trust in Joel Embiid, the trust in Tyrese Maxey. He did not just beat the Heat. We're just saying Eastern Conference Finals. We're feeling it. Before we get to that, there's a big name in professional football. Maybe the biggest name, one of the biggest names of all time. Clearly the best coach of all time, even though some Eskins disagree. Bill Belichick.
Not even in that guy's top five.
He's not in his top five.
No.
Belichick.
Yes.
So, if I remember correctly, when the rumors bubbled up a little bit about Bill Chip Belichick and Jeffrey Lurie, or Bill Belichick and the Eagles, Howard did shoot it down correctly. Shoot it down right away, right?
Right. Yes,
if I remember correctly.
Okay. Yep.
They said no interest the Eagles would have in him.
Zero.
So, this comes from ESPN. Who wrote this story? I'm sorry, I didn't write
Wickersham.
Oh, okay. This is a quote from that story. In the coming weeks, Bill Belichick is expected to sign a deal to do analysis for Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions, which produces ESPN's Manning Cast during Monday Night Football. He is believed to be biding his time until next January for openings on teams he has told confidants he would be interested in coaching: the Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, and New York Giants. A source who spoke with a longtime friend of Belichick says the friend wonders if the coach will ever have another opportunity. Quote, "I don't think Bill Belichick will ever be a head coach again in the National Football League," the friend said, "unless it's for Jerry Jones." So the Cowboys, Eagles, and Giants are on Bill Belichick's list. The question is, would he be on theirs?
Hmm.
Well, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know how he wouldn't be on their list. Now, obviously, it depends on how the season plays out
right, with
the team and Coach Sirianni. And everything, but you know, I wasn't as adamant as Jack was about bringing in Bill Belichick, but it wasn't because I don't believe Bill Belichick is a good coach or he wouldn't be a good coach here in Philadelphia. I just didn't believe at the time the Eagles
would be interested.
And you know, you see this story and you're like, whoa, okay.
Do you think Howie would feel secure enough to hire a guy like Belichick? I'm not saying Chip Kelly and Bill Belichick are the same thing, clearly.
Right.
But that mindset of wanting to pick the groceries. Yep. This is, I think, I'm going to walk in. And do you think there's a little shell shock left over in Howie about how the chip thing went down? Do you think he would feel secure enough to hire a Bill Belichick if Sirianni doesn't work out?
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
That because I don't know if that would be Howie's first choice. You know, bringing in a guy like Bill Belichick almost feels like that's a Jeffrey Lurie decision.
Yes.
Well, that was a part of the article, too, is that Lurie was considering it.
Yeah, like that's what it sort of feels like. That would be sort of the owner saying, this is the direction I want to go with. And he would, out of loyalty to Howie, I would presume, would assure Howie he's fine.
Like, right, he could, you know, he get the office in the back.
Yeah,
like
as long as you can work with the guy, you're going to be here. If you're telling me you can't work with Bill Belichick, then it depends on how bad Jeffrey Lurie wants Bill Belichick here.
I think it would be interesting if, forgetting about Howie, if Lurie made the decision after he got burned with the Chip thing. Because remember, that was him with Chip.
Sure, yeah.
That was him giving Chip everything.
Yep.
He got sort of romanced, for lack of a better word, with how just, I guess, determined and what's the word I'm looking for? Chip knew what he wanted to do.
Yep.
And I think that can be intoxicating for a manager. Like, that guy knows what he wants to do. I'm going to let him do it. I wonder if he would give away control like that.
Yeah, it would have to be pretty bad. And listen, the end of the season certainly could qualify for how bad it is for an owner to consider something like this. So the very fact that Jeffrey Lurie, according to this report, may have at least considered it or the thought of it, that lets you know how bad of an ending to the season it was. Not only that, some other decision-making that led to potentially how bad of it. Like, I'm speaking of the Matt Patricia.
Sure.
Moving Sean Desai out of the way, putting Matt Patricia in there, whoever's decision that was a terrible decision to make at that time. So I say this to I wouldn't have a problem doing it. I don't see the Eagles doing it. Like, Howie and Bill Belichick would have to make some concessions as well. You don't get to come in and just redo everything to your liking. Because you don't necessarily have the recent track record that says we should just give you total autonomy to making decisions around here, personnel decisions. So as long as Bill has say, but also is willing to collaborate and work with Howie and his staff, it could work if all parties agree to that. But the moment there's one side that says, no, I want to have it this way versus that way, and if I'm Jeffrey Lurie, it's a no-go for me.
Well, I think there's a reason why he was on the yacht or yacht shopping for an extra, 5 days at the end of the year?
Yeah.
Right. They wait 9 days for that end of the year press conference? I think he was thinking about it. I think the Belichick thing is 100% real. And, like, if you believe what Julian Edelman said, he said on record that Bill respects Howie. So there could be this whole thing of those two working together. And to be completely fair and frank, like, I would feel better about this upcoming Eagles season if Bill Belichick was here instead of Nick Sirianni. Like, everyone's freaking out about the defense. Well, you know who could fix a defense?
Bill Belichick.
Like, we can do the Vic Fangio acting like he's some godfather of football, and he might be a good defensive coordinator. Belichick's still elite at that. You could have hired Kellen Moore. They could have fixed the offense no matter what. And I think that there's enough mutual respect there to where those two would have gotten along. So I'm glad Lurie is at least in this mindset. And I hope that next year, Belichick's here.
Can I tell you, I believe he's going to the Giants.
Me too.
100%.
It would be super interesting to see him here. Would love it for us.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'd love it.
The best.
Jeffrey, please.
I mean, imagine how.
The best part would be how Howard
would deal with it.
Somehow would come around to Belichick is not Belichick.
You know,
anymore.
I've been thinking about it, and he did win a lot.
He'd bring up how Brady was a game manager for the first three.
Yep.
That's what he would bring up. Now, does Howard's strong stance against Belichick, how does that matter and factor into his Insider of the Year rankings? Ooh. Because I have the audio of it, and he went pretty strong, okay?
Let's hear it.
Here's Howard.
What coach is going to make it better? Now, are there good coaches available? Yeah, and Belichick's not one of them. And I can tell you this for a fact. Jeff Lurie is not a fan of Belichick. Mm. I can tell you that. All
so,
right. I know that.
So I only think it hurts his Eagles insider ranking because really we just have one word against the other at this point.
Well, Wickersham's very plugged in up there.
Yeah, but we have no proof.
Yeah.
We have Greg Bedard. Greg Bedard also very plugged in up there. That's two versus one. We know he's got an agenda against Belichick.
We'll talk about it. Of course, we are going to reveal the first Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings tomorrow on the show.
I like it.
We'll see if we can work this in. I truly have no idea. I do think the history with the Giants, obviously the story with the Giants, and I do think John Mara, obviously Mara and Belichick, and then there's a little shakiness with Daboll up there. Obviously, you had the Martindale thing. I think, assuming the Giants don't win 10 or 11 games or something, I think, just stop it, Jack, I see you grinning.
Watch, I thought you were going to slip and call him Mr. Mara because you were in New York for a while.
Do you know, I met John Mara once.
Yeah,
he was very nice. He looked at me and he said, it was very funny. He goes, you know, I was going to get that haircut. I decided against it, though. Shook my hand and walked out. It was very nice.
Oh, it's good.
Very nice.
A legacy family
Absolutely.
In the league.
It is a legacy family.
So we'll get back to Sixers Heat in 1 second. I know as the temperatures get warmer, you start thinking, the reason that my house doesn't get cool with the AC is because the windows. I know the windows stink. And I know you think about that, your front door, which has been painted on over a million times, that you don't have a storm door. And the reason you don't do any of it is because it feels like a pain in the ass and it's too expensive. I have advice for you. Go Gaida. New windows, go Gaida. Entry door, go Gaida. Storm door, go Gaida. Whatever you need home improvement wise, I suggest you go Gaida with my good friends at Gaida Door and Windows. They're going to make it easy and they're going to get the price right. To help you get it started, Gaida is offering 20% off all windows and doors while allowing you to start your project with no money down, up to 3 years to pay it off interest free. They take care of it for you. They put in the windows, and I'm going to tell you to do it, and they're going to give you 20% off, 3 years interest free. That's right. 20% instant savings with the luxury of paying off your project interest-free for up to 36 months. Restrictions apply. Offers for a limited time. What are you waiting for? Go Gaida. Call today to schedule a free in-home estimate at 1-877-GO-GAIDA or visit them at GoGaida.com. That's Go, GUIDA.com. 215-592-9494. Frank in Delaware. You're on WIP.
Hey, Spike. Welcome back home, man. Welcome back.
Good to be back. Thanks, man.
I do believe that the Sixers will win tonight. And yes, you can trust Joel. This is the healthiest he's been. Actually, the injury came pretty good for him, actually, because now you're going to get the best. If they don't go past the second round, then it is maybe time to regroup.
Well, if they don't get past the second round, there's going to be a lot of upset Sixers fans.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
because this is the healthiest, really, he has been.
Yeah,
he's been here probably.
Yeah, he was healthy in the bubble, but Ben got hurt, and that was a weird playoffs anyway. I agree. This is the time, but there are other factors. But if they do not succeed, or Ike, as you said before, if they lose and he averages 46, 16, and 8, okay, you know that's. But I think this all comes back on him. Frank, what is your favorite 90s scandal?
All right, man, this is like a blockbuster here. You're going to love this one. The Tonya Harding
Nancy
and
Kerrigan.
Ooh, yes.
That was like soap opera, just perfect.
Yep. It was incredible. I remember it like it was yesterday. Thank you for the call, Frank.
96 or 94 Olympics?
So it feels like 94 to me. No, I don't think I was in college yet.
What is it called?
No, I guess I would have been college.
I'm about to mess up the name.
The husband?
No, I'm thinking of the Olympic place.
Seoul?
No, it was Japan, right? Winter Olympics, Japan.
I don't remember.
Not Nakatomi. That's Die Hard. The Nakatomi Towers.
Yeah, no. You're trying to remember what it is?
I'm trying to remember the city.
Jack's trying to look it up.
Yeah. What you got, Jack?
Well, apparently it was in Detroit.
No, you know,
I don't think that was right.
Believe me, the Olympics were not in Detroit.
Well, hold on, it's Cabo Arena in Detroit.
No, but that was the.
But they were training for the Olympics.
Yeah, that was the training thing. Yeah. Yes, that's not the Olympics.
The famous Japanese city of Detroit.
It's beautiful this time of year.
Yeah, everybody loves Detroit and Japan.
Believe me, they're not having the Olympics in Detroit, brother. Believe me.
Do you remember Tonya Harding's? I guess it was boyfriend's name that arranged for it.
Jeff Galooly.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Dude, what a crazy. That story.
That's an awesome scandal. Like, we still refer to it today. Like, you need to Tonya Harding that person.
Yeah. Now, Jack, do you understand the context
yes.
of Harden?
Well, yes.
You were not born yet. This is one of the stories. OJ, I can conceive of. Clinton, I can conceive of. The one Olympic skater's boyfriend has somebody bash the other Olympic skater's female skater in the leg with a metal pipe.
Yeah.
What is going on? How did that even happen?
Why?
And what?
What? That was Nancy Kerrigan crying. Yep.
And can I tell you, and it happened to her at the time, and I think it would have been even worse now.
Yeah.
Kerrigan was she was a sympathetic figure in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody got a little annoyed with her eventually.
Yeah,
there's a little
yeah,
was
I'm
made.
Mocking her right now.
Yeah, it would have taken 36 hours in 2024 for us to turn on Nancy Kerrigan.
Of course. Yeah. Complaining a little too much? Yeah. I'm out. So it says
she was whining a little bit too much. That pole didn't hurt that bad.
Yeah.
Lily Hammer, Norway?
There it is. Lily Hammer, Norway. That's
right next to Japan.
Right.
The famous Lily Hammer, Norway in Japan.
No one better.
You know you can't trust me, man, with these cities. I just knew it was somewhere cold.
Yes, it was cold. The winter. Mike, you're on WIP. What's up, Mike?
Lily Hammer.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's going on, man?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, look, I'm 70 years old. I remember you guys talking about the nodding, the head nodding, and then when you see people. When I was coming up, man, you know, I don't know if you guys remember Cootie High, but, you know, we used to do the handshake and everything. You don't see a brother coming by. You know, we didn't nod, man. We slapped each other five and high, things like that. People don't even go nowhere near that kind of thing nowadays. But, you know, hey, that's the way, that's the sign of the times, man. That's the way it is.
By the way, only one of us remembers Cooley High.
But anyway, I was talking about Joel Embiid. Remember 5-6 years ago when you got that Simmons on the team? And I called you and told you, and you refuted. You kept saying this phrase after I said it. I told you, get rid of that guy. I still say the same thing. You will never win an NBA title with Joel Embiid. I don't care how many years he played. He's just like my boy Dak. You know, we ain't gonna never get out of the first round with Dak.
No, you know why he's not?
Oh,
like
trying
that.
To drag us down with your loser football team, huh, Mike?
Yeah, man. I have to admit that, man. I finally have to admit that Dak ain't gonna get me nowhere, man. But you know, but anyway, I was thinking about that with Joel. I told you 6 years ago. I said, get rid of that guy, man.
Mike.
You guys, kept that guy on the team, he ain't going nowhere, man. Because he's always trying to play point guard. And that guy, that lady Wendy you had on your show a couple things back,
she
said the exact same thing. He should play in the middle. If he played, you guys try to compare him to Olajuwon and all them guys. If he played like that, hey, you might make it. But he's trying to play like point guard all the time, shooting threes all the time. He's not gonna make it that way. Nobody will get no rebounds, and you guys gonna lose the first round, man.
No, not happening.
Let me ask you this, Mike, or let me tell you this: the difference between Joel Embiid and Dak Prescott is that no one is ever arguing that Dak Prescott is the best player in football. They are with Joel Embiid.
No.
Well, it's true.
Joel Embiid ain't nowhere near the best player.
Sure he is. You could say that he's not the best, but there's certainly an easy case
he's
to be made.
Certainly one of the three best players in all of basketball.
He won the MVP, and he was runner-up the 2 years before.
2 years in a row.
So he is. What's your favorite 90s scandal? Do you have one?
I got one. I think the Michael Jackson sex scandal. When the kid,
13-year-old
kid.
Yeah, we got it. Jesus juice, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a weird one to be your favorite.
Well, yeah, and I knew at some point we'd get down this road.
You know what's weird
about Michael Jackson's sex scandal? It was a couple of them, I believe.
Yeah, his whole, adulthood.
it was a couple of them, I believe. Yeah.
I did see there is a Michael Jackson Broadway show, a musical.
Sure, yep.
That's amazing.
Yep.
They do not reference any of this at all during it. It's as if it didn't happen. It is weird with Michael Jackson in that we all sort of think it happened one way or another. But everybody's like, yeah, the tunes are cool, though. And they just sort of move on, right?
Well, Lord.
What?
Help me. Guide me through this.
Oh, no. Do you want to just go to the next call?
I really do want to just go. I'm just saying, he did go to court over it.
Yes.
And he was found not guilty of it.
I guess my point is, there's
the kid slept there, but there was never any proof that he actually did anything.
Yes,
to anybody.
My I think what we don't need to agree on specifics. We don't need a play by play.
Thank you.
I think we all agree there was something weird there.
With
at the very
100%,
least.
Yes. Yeah,
something
100%. Yes, there was not
something maybe they shouldn't sleep over even.
Yes.
You know, even if nothing happened.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. Totally agree with that.
Yeah.
And showing up to court in pajamas don't help.
It's a little weird. Joe in the Northeast, you're on WIP.
Hey, Spike, how you doing?
What's up, Joe?
About the Sixers. You know, when Harden was here, it was Harden and Embiid. Tyrese deferred to them. And now this year you have Tyrese and Embiid. What do you think would be better of having Harris coming off the bench? Something start Paul Reed, Embiid, Oubre in the front line, and Maxey and the Heel in the backcourt. Why I say that is if Heel is going to get a lot of open shots and he hasn't been hitting them down this past the end of the season, you can make a quick hook and get Lowry or Campaign in. But Harris is more of a scorer coming off the dribble. He's not a flat-footed shooter or anything like that. And like I said, I think when Embiid and Tyrese are in there, he's not as aggressive as he would be if he was coming off the bench with the second team.
With that second unit, yeah.
I get what you're saying,
There's
Joe.
Something to that.
I do think the issue is Oubre in that I think two things. I do not think that Nurse will make the decision to not start Tobias Harris right away. But with this season being as important as it is, let's say they get past tonight, this season being as important as it is, Tobias Harris being on an expiring contract, somebody that they can't trade, they don't have to worry about his trade value, they also don't have to worry about his mindset. I think that if he looks like the Tobias we saw 6 weeks ago that was terrible for about a month, I think he'll take him out of the starting lineup. The problem is you put Oubre in the starting lineup, especially if you don't have Melton, because it seems like Melton's not going to be able to play. So then you put Oubre in the starting lineup, and he's so good as your guy off the bench that it just sort of screws everything up. So I think their wish would be that Tobias Harris plays well enough to stay in the lineup. Maybe he doesn't play 35 minutes every game. Maybe he's playing 24, 22 or something like that. You're sort of going hot hand. Mm-hmm. But I think they would be willing to put him on the bench, but I don't think they're going to want to.
What about closing lineups?
Which is also important.
But they have to be willing to not have him in the closing lineup.
Yes. I don't know about that.
You're
something, man. You are something. Dude, the teammates are only passing the ball. Like, Oubre would have got fouled in that Clippers game, and then calling everyone a B. Toby was wide open in the corner, and he said, "Nah, I got it."
You're going to stick through this Tobias thing right to the bitter end.
I've got to.
I think my closing lineup, assuming Melton is hurt, my closing lineup is...
Well, Melton's always hurt.
Yeah. I feel bad for him. His back stuff sucks. My closing lineup would be Maxey, Lowry, Oubre, Batum, and Embiid. That's what I would close with. Your Twitter poll of the day, which is brought to you by Marks Jewelers. It's engagement season. Shop the home team at Marks Jewelers with diamond engagement rings for every budget. Online at marks-jewelers.com. We changed a new one. The Sixers are down 2 with the ball in the final possession. Who do you want taking the final shot, Maxey or Embiid? Ike, what is your guess percentages, Maxey or Embiid, final shot?
All right, so I guessed Maxey. Now I'm trying to wonder, does everybody think the same way I'm thinking here? I would say it's probably half and half, but I'm going to give the slight edge to Maxey. Let's go 54% Maxey.
Embiid, 57%.
Wow.
Little surprise.
Sure. Yeah.
Little surprise.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people want the guy who hasn't failed yet.
Right.
You know, not that you're sure that Maxey will do it. Sure, like backup quarterback thing.
Sure.
Let Maxey try it. I'm actually surprised at the vote there.
Confidence in Embiid right there.
Absolutely. Coming up next.
Wait till the night goes.
Oh, yeah. He turns the ball over once in the first 5 seconds.
Yeah,
it's over.
Don't let Butler get hot. That's the issue.
Absolutely not. So coming up next, I have hinted at some new standards for our callers.
The standard is the standard. It's always rising, as some would say.
Mm-hmm. I have a great deal of respect for our callers. They're a huge part of the show. Obviously, I'm new. They are not. But there are going to be some rules. We call these rules the Bill of Spike, and I will reveal six rules for calling the new afternoon show next. Ike Reese, Spike Eskin, Jack Fritz.